Putting the Pieces in Place by R.B. Russell. Read by Mark Young. The tape came off the first reel, threaded its way through the guides and heads, and flapped uselessly, rhythmically, as the full spool continued to turn. Nicholas Porter opened his eyes at the noise, but presumably did not want to believe that the music of Emily Butler had come to an end. Finally, with a smile, in the direction of the young woman opposite him, and also with a sigh, he got up out of his armchair and walked over to the vintage reel-to-reel machine and switched it off. "This'll need rewinding, I take it," he asked.
"As you've only got one tape, I wouldn't bother," Beatrice Grant replied. "Just change the two reels over, and it's ready to play again."
"But the tape is not now on its original reel."
"It will be after you've played it next."
He paused and considered. "I have to admit that I am a little precious about such things. You know what obsessive collectors are like." Beatrice Grant said that she didn't, that she had never felt the urge to collect anything, and he gave a short, self-deprecating lecture on how passionate collectors can be about the smallest of things. When he had finished, he smiled again, rather guiltily, and said, "But that did sound absolutely wonderful. It was everything I dreamed it would be. I suppose I should get a copy made, as a backup."
"That would be sensible, yes."
"Hmm," he considered, "but no copy will ever sound quite as good as hearing it on that old analog tape."
"I suppose it's like you reading one of your first editions," she suggested, "on lovely paper and a nice binding. The words are still the same as in a cheap paperback, but the experience is different."
"I don't know if it's quite the same analogy," he replied, slowly giving it consideration. "The process of hearing is different. Analog is warmer, more natural. The bass is thickened up, giving it a fuller sound. It compresses the high end a little too, which is more natural to the ear."
"All right," she held up her hand to stop him. "I believe you. I defer to you in all matters musical as well as literary.
But you can still tell me what you thought of the music."
"It was quite beautiful. But classical music isn't my forte, you know. It's obviously very skillful. It sounds romantic. The tone is wonderful."
Emily was playing Mozart's Third on a reproduction Stradivarius, and we had to listen to this tape on an original RCA reel-to-reel player. I'm pretty sure that's what she would have recorded it on in the first place. I've got a photo of her with this very machine in the background.
"You really are obsessional, aren't you?"
"You don't know the half of it, my dear," he said, with an effective movement of his hand over his brow. "But you are the heroine of the hour."
"I couldn't have tracked it down without the information you gave me."
"I've made my living and my money."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?